Hi, I'm Ella Sean, reluctant romance writer and host of Enchanted Beast Podcast. Welcome to the Enchanted Forest.
Oh, thank you.
In this episode, author Ella Sean takes a look at how those deeply flawed characters she loves writing about in her Southern Gothic erotic fiction translate and take up space and time in the real world. Thank you for tuning in and listening to Stop Being a Pain in the Butt. And now, your host, romance writer, Ella Sean. Hello, my enchanted beast. How are you? It is wonderful to be back in the Enchanted Forest with you guys again. I did take April off. Took some time to refocus and reevaluate a lot of things. I think it's important. You know, we do our spring cleaning to our homes. We clean out our closets, our cupboards, our drawers, right? And we decide what should we keep, what do we give away, and what is really garbage and needs to be discarded, right? What can be recycled or reused. And we do that like in the spring. So while I was cleaning up my house, right, getting rid of and repurposing and all that stuff, I thought, let me take a moment to take stock of my life. Let me do a little spring cleaning for my life. And so it's just a good time to be, right? I didn't want to do anything as much as I reconciled myself to be Ella for a month. This, of course, Enchanted Beast podcast is an extension of my writing platform. And the reason I started this podcast alongside launching my writing career is because I want to invite possible readers into my thought process. I want to invite possible readers into my motivations, my philosophy, right, behind writing and the kind of material that I produce as a writer. And I thought, well, this would be a great way to connect with other women who fall into the audience that I want to attract to my books. And so April allowed me to redirect my intentions, right? To remember that every episode, every piece of information I share, every time I upload a podcast episode, my intention is to connect with women who vibe with this idea or concept of being more than just an individual flesh and blood woman. Once again, buckle up, because I'm getting ready to take you on quite a magical ride. Stop being a pain in the butt. Okay, my genre is Southern Gothic erotic romance. I love Southern Gothic. I'm a Southern woman. And there is something about being in the South that lends itself to digging into all of that macabre, dark, heavy juju work, like everything. It's just being a Southern woman, if I am honest with you, leaves me open to exploring all of it without guilt or without shame. One of the main tenets of Southern Gothic writing is deeply flawed and disturbing characters, right? I mean, we can't just have run-of-the-mill, messed up characters. Not in Southern Gothic, no. We're talking about a depravity that runs so deep, it's generational. It's spread throughout the blood, right? These characters aren't flawed because they have chosen to be flawed. No, in Southern Gothic writing, characters are flawed because they're born into flawed families, right? It's generational. It's a curse. And as a writer, everything I do starts with characters first. I meet my characters before I know what the hell is going to happen with them. I engage with them on a spiritual level. It sounds hokey as hell, but it's my truth. I literally meet my characters. I don't know what they look like. I don't know if they're male or female. I get hints of them every now and again until they trust me enough to reveal themselves. And they are honestly just completely messed up. The situations they're in are messed up. Their thought processes are messed up. Everything about them are completely just messed up. And that is why I love them. It's why I love writing about them, right? And most people love reading about these deeply flawed characters. We love reading about the hard-ass man who can't show his emotions and he's always in control of himself and has to control everyone else because he's so damaged. He doesn't want anyone to see. I don't know a woman who doesn't think, you know what? If I ever found a man like that, I know my love could change him. I know my love could help him. I know me loving him the way I want him to love me will eventually get him. And as much as I love writing about these characters, it is not the most fun place to be when you live with one or when you yourself are one. So the more I thought about how deeply flawed my characters tend to come to me as, something about the idea of being flawed as a person, like there's something about a person's character that is wrong, imperfect, that is less than. It didn't sit right with my beast. It didn't sit right with Lilith, right? She was like, I'm kind of the mind, Ella, that everything that is a part of a being is there for a reason. So I was doing my research because, I refuse to come on here and chat away about shit I don't know anything about. So I'm researching the psychology behind character flaws. And I come across this study or a study that was done by Dr. Tom Brunner. He's a psychologist, a counselor, and a consultant. And he posed this question: do you recognize the value of insightfully managing your, what he calls, personality thorns? And that resonated with me. However, what didn't resonate was the whole personality thing, because there's a huge difference between one's personality and one's character. And I'm going to get to that a little later on. But right now, I want to kind of switch the dial from deeply flawed characters to characters who have big ass thorns. So you have this beautiful wild rose growing beside the prison door. I am thinking about the Scarlet Letter, right? And the roses are growing by the very dark gray, heavy, austere, male heavy, right? Male energy heavy prison door. And you have these beautiful, bright, vibrant roses wrapped in thorns. First and foremost, people think about roses as love. There's love there. And then they think they're soft and fragrant, like women. So there's feminine energy there. They have no idea what to think about those damn thorns, though. Those little pricklies. I can't reconcile why a beautiful, fragrant, feminine rose would also have these pricklies, these thorns. And when I considered that, as I was going through figuring out how this podcast episode was going to play out, it dawned on me. Perhaps what we have been calling, and psychologists have been calling, character flaws. Yes, they're character thorns. They are a part of something beautiful, transcendent, something soft, vulnerable, even. Why would something soft and vulnerable, something beautiful and fragrant, require something so harsh? Something dangerous and painful as a part of itself. That's what this episode is all about. Recognizing the value of insightfully managing our little character thorns. What if we could recognize the value of these thorns? They are meant to be both protective and dangerous. So let us not be a pain in the butt when it comes to recognizing and managing these character thorns. Instead, let us be aware. Let us seek to understand how. Let us trust that there are reasons for these thorns. Let us treat them and the whole person with love and compassion. But most importantly, we have to willingly be aware, seek to understand, trust the reasons, treat with love and compassion our very own character thorns. It is impossible to be that thing for others outside of yourself when you yourself refuse to become aware of your own thorns. So I'm really, all about the words. And if you don't have an idea of what I am trying to say or convey, then it's kind of a moot point. So I'm starting with definitions. When I think about character flaws, and this is my really loosely kind of, I know what a character flaw is. I'm just going to throw it out here in layman's terms. That's my definition coming up, okay? So a character flaw indicates negative attributes exhibited within one's character. These negative attributes create both intra and interpersonal problems that usually lead to detrimental outcomes, right? So if one is completely flawed as a character, then they are associated with negativity, right? Already we're like, dang, that's horrible. You have a character flaw, and your character flaw is this, and that means it's bad and it's negative, and you're gonna have trouble with dealing with other people and kind of being just who you are. In fact, you are a problem because, and who the hell wants to be told that? I wish you weren't such a negative Nancy, because then we could be friends. Nobody wants to hear that. Now, again, my own, hey, let's talk about character thorns definition. These are assimilated expressions of adversity and/or sacrifices that serve as protective adaptations and warnings to others. It indicates where a person is in their healing and/or recovery. Further broken down, character thorns are a set of learned behaviors that have worked previously in response to adversity, sacrifices, lump them all together. They have worked in dealing with trauma. They help protect. And they can be a warning. Hey, look, I don't know what you're looking for, but whatever it is, you're probably not going to get it here. This is my warning to you. Heed it. Walk away. It is a true indication of where a person is in their healing journey along their recovery path. As you have heard just now, there was nothing in that whole statement that was negatively connoted. Nothing that says this is a horrible person because of X, Y, and Z. No. It is learned behavioral patterns that have previously worked in dealing with adverse or sacrificial, i.e., traumatic situations, and therefore it is a way to protect one's self. It is also a way to serve as a warning to others. I am not in a place right now where I am able to engage in this type of whatever it is, so don't expect me to do or be that thing. This is where I am in my healing. So, would you rather have character flaws, or would you rather be aware of your character thorns, as they were? So there are a lot of different types of thorns, okay? We could have the pricklies that are on roses. We could have spikes that come on cacti. We could have, big, like heavy, ingrown, woody, burrowed leaf type things. Like thorns come in so many variations. We need to be aware of them. As a writer, I people watch religiously. Sometimes I just like to go out to a park, cop a squat, have my notebook, my pen, an iced chai latte, coconut milk, and watch people. I like to see their thorns. I like to see how they move with their thorns, how others move around them and their thorns. Because I like to have my thorns and my characters be as real and honest and human as possible. That way, when you're reading Ella Shawn's books, oh, I picked up Om's Brisée and I could really connect with and relate to Vivian. I got where Viridian was coming from when she approached John the way she did. I kind of have some thorns like that myself, right? Even for the thorniest of them, I want someone to be able to say, damn, that was almost me, right? So we have lots of different thorns. And because we don't ascribe negative or positive attributes to these thorns, we're just going to talk about what they are. I just want you to be aware. This is the first step in not being a pain in the butt when dealing with thorns, right? It's the first step of not being a pain in the butt when it comes to dealing with your thorns and other people's thorns. Be aware. We have some thorns that I like to call endearing. These are the thorns that we see them in people, we see them in ourselves, and we're like, oh, well, it kind of makes us chuckle. It makes us kind of want to protect the people who are exhibiting these thorns. It kind of makes us love them a little bit more, right? So let's be aware of some of these endearing thorns. You have the socially awkward thorn. We all know people who are just like, ugh, bless her heart. That's what we say here in the South. Bless her heart. Somebody go stand beside her so she doesn't look so nervous. We have the boring as hell thorn. Dull, uninteresting, just. What are you doing? What are you talking about? Do you have a life? Can you go find one? Maybe I can rent you one. Boring. And this is not to be confused with apathetic or disinterested. No, this is how's your day? Good. I got up and I made pancakes. Right? So just like nothing there to talk about, no interesting, nothing, right? You have capricious. I love that word because A, it's just really beautiful to say and it sounds sexy for some reason, capricious. But that's kind of, impulsive. Like I had an idea. I didn't know if I could really make it work, but I thought, what the hell? I'll give it a try. So I did. For some people, that's an endearing quality. You're like, well, okay, they just went with it and it turned out pretty cool. Then you have childish people. Silly, immature, overly innocent. And like, again, you're not quite sure if you can tolerate it all the time, but it's like, okay, whatever. Shoot, it's not me. Right? Clumsy, uncoordinated, and fumbling, often accident prone. Oh, Father, gosh. Bless their little hearts. And they can't help it. Like, there's nothing they can do. They are just a bunch of klutzes. These are kind of the endearing thorns, right? The thorns that make us want to be a little more protective. They make us laugh a little bit. They make us love a little bit, right? Because they just do. So be aware of those endearing thorns. Then we have some frustrating thorns. Thorns can be frustrating, right? Even if they're your thorns, you can be frustrated with self and others. So when we have foolish thorns, like, oh, it's just foolish, lacking good judgment or common sense, like, oh my gosh, that poor child doesn't have the sense God gave a doorknob. What are you thinking about? It is frustrating. It can be frustrating. Gossipy, always spreading rumors, always talking about others behind. Again, that could be your thorn. You could be gossiping. And perhaps you're frustrated with your own thorn. And you can bet your bottom dollar if you're the gossipy thorn, people are frustrated with you. Gullible, easily fooled or persuaded. Humorless, having no sense of humor. Oh my gosh, I cannot with that. Solemn all the time. Everything's very austere. Lazy, unwilling to work, slothful. Honestly, though, the endearing and frustrating thorns, I think at some point we all have them as a part of our character, as a part of who we are, right? There are some irritating thorns out there. Right? Frustration, you can deal with. You're like, okay, whatever. But irritating, those are the thorns you might want to punch. Those are the thorns you might want to throat punch. Overly gentle and submissive, this meekness that there's no call for it, there's no place for it, and yet you're just overly meek, overly accommodating, overly giving. Just, oh, walk over me. I'm a doormat. Child, please. Mischievousness, playful, troublesome, rascally, roguish. I love writing this thorn into older characters, like in their 60s or 70s. Because they've earned the right to be mischievous. They've earned the right to be playfully troublesome and stir shit up. Because who's gonna check them? Right? Still irritating, but fun to write in an older character. Naive, childlike, trusting, unworldly. This type of thorn, I think, is irritating when it is seen in accomplished women. Specifically, when you know this woman knows her shit and she's a powerhouse, and yet she gets around a certain group of people or a certain type of people, and she becomes a simpering, simple, silly girl. I cannot with that. Like, I cannot abide with that. And again, even as I say it, I don't know why the hell she has that thorn. Right? That makes me a pain in the butt for not trusting the reason she has that thorn. Obnoxious, highly irritating, and unpleasant. Oh, we know people like this. People who have to be the life of the party. People who have to be the greatest thing since sliced bread and pimento cheese. Prideful. Having a lofty opinion of oneself and rarely admitting to being wrong. OMFNG, we know. Some of us are carrying those thorns, right? These are the irritating thorns. Not so endearing, not so, okay, I can deal with it. These are thorns that make you want to walk away from folk because what the hell? I don't need it. We have thorns that are saddening. They cause sadness, not only in the persons who are carrying the thorns, but in the people who are greatly affected by the thorns, right? These are saddening thorns. People who are adulterers, like cheaters, right? They cheat on partners and spouses, and they just do it like it's not a big deal, but that's sadness. Anxious people experiencing frequent nerves and apprehensions, panic attacks, anxiety disorder. And it's like, it makes them sad and makes everybody else sad too, because Right? We are like, what's going on here? Apathetic people having little interest in or any enthusiasm for life, really. It's just like, what the hell ever? There's no point to any of it anyway. Like, that makes me sad when I come across people who are like that. Arrogant people, haughty, conceited. Like, I'm that shit. That's me. I don't care if you are. You don't have to act that way. Here I am, Ella Shine, being a pain in the butt because, again, I have to trust the reason, right? I have to try and understand how this thorn developed, and then I have to trust there's a reason for it, right? So, okay, calm down, Ella. Calm down. Belligerent, hostile, and aggressive for no damn reason at all. Why are you acting like this? That makes me sad when people carry on like that, you know? It makes me sad when I carry on like that, because I have. Bitter, resentful, and unpleasant because of a past experience. Come on, let it go. It's nothing that you could have done. Nothing you can do. You know? And that's how I feel like most people are with these very saddening thorns. Like, if we are not the carriers of the saddening thorns, and we have people who are affected by the saddening thorns, or if we are in company of people who carry the saddening thorns, then it's very hard for us to want to engage, to want to try and understand, to want to trust the reason for the thorn, who want to treat it with love, right? Because these things are just so like, I'm over it, right? Cowardly, lacking the courage to stand up for what's right. I'm going to say lacking the courage to be truthful, to live one's own truth, lacking the courage to live one's own truth. It is sad when I see that, when I am a coward and I back away from my truth because of a myriad of reasons, right? So be aware of these saddening thorns. Be aware of disrespectful thorns. OMFNGY. Why? I'm a tolerable person. I can tolerate a lot of stuff. And hopefully I will learn to not be a pain in the butt of our thorn carriers and, you know, of myself as a thorn carrier, but disrespectful thorns, like dishonesty, don't freaking lie to me. Don't lie to me. Don't like try and get some shit over on me. Like none of it. I don't want any part of it. Don't lie. Don't be deceitful to try and take advantage of me. Like, ugh. That is disrespectful. I don't like it. Envious, wanting to possess what others may have. Stop. The more you envy me, the less you have the capacity to recognize your own greatness. Right? The more I envy someone else, then the less time I'm taking to recognize what is so wonderful about me. I envy, don't. That is disrespectful to self first, right? Greedy, always with the handout, always wanting more, even though it's not a need, even though it is not going to add anything else. You just want as much as you can get. Hedonistic. Now, I don't know. Be aware of disrespectful, I guess, indulging completely in the pursuit of pleasures. If it is at the, I guess if you are seeking, like if I were a hedonist, right, and I sought pleasure over everything else to the destruction of everything else, right? Like that is disrespectful. Hubristic. These are great freaking words, by the way. Hubris. I used to always tell my students, don't do that. Don't be so full of hubris. You've not earned anything, right? That's excessively self-confident. Like, I can do this, I can do that, I am this, I am that. And you're not, because you haven't earned it yet. You haven't learned it yet. You haven't been tried and tested yet. Stop. Right? Stop. Hypocritical, OM effing G. That's like hashtag OM effing G, because don't say one thing. Right? Don't be like, I'm not for this. This is not how I am. And then you are, you go and act in that same way. You've just chastised me for behavior. No, don't do that. Don't do it. Ignorant. I'm going to change that. Stupid. I don't care if you're ignorant. Everybody is ignorant about something. Ignorant is having little knowledge of, right? So we are all ignorant to a lot of shit. What I can't abide by is stupidity. Stupidity is when you know you don't know what you're talking about and you refuse to go and learn the information. No, you know you don't know and you're just going to continue to go down the path of ignorance and spout it out like you know what you're saying. Don't do that. It's disrespectful, especially to people who take the time to learn it, right? To be more aware in the world. There are dangerous thorns out there. And yes, I am also advocating that we are not pains in the butts of those thorns as well. However, those thorns are there as a warning. They are there to say, this is where I am in my healing. I am not in a place where I can engage or interact. Stay away from me. If we choose not to heed the warning, or if you yourself are a carrier of dangerous thorns, and you seek to draw people in and won't let them go when they want to heed the warning, then there is some work to do, right? Dangerous thorns, abusive, engaging in habitual and extreme cruelty or violence, like to be abusive, to be impacted by someone who is, look, if you notice this thorn and it's like sticking out like a gnarly ingrown toenail, that's a warning sign. Don't wait for the next time. Just walk away. That person isn't, where are they in their healing journey? They are not at a place where they are able to truly engage, right? Bigoted, harboring fierce, immovable prejudices about a certain group. Look, we all have our thorns. If you notice someone has this thorn, if you have this thorn, just don't put yourself in situations where you could hurt someone, where you could be a danger to yourself or and others, right? If I see, oh wait, this guy has a bigoted thorn. This thorn's warning me right here, not to engage, not to interact. He is not at a place in his healing and or recovery where we could have a conversation, and that's fine. Cruel, disloyal, fanatical, intolerant. Like, look, I see them all. And you know what? I'm sending you out some compassion. I am sending you out some love. And I hope your healing continues to progress. And I hope that maybe we could get down a little bit later when you are in a place of recovery. Right? Machiavellian. Nism, cunning, manipulative. Look, this is like sociopath, psychopath stuff here with this whole Machiavellianism. Hey, it's okay. It's fine that this is the thorn you have. I recognize it as a warning. I'm going to heed that warning. And thank you so much for wearing it so that I know to walk away because you're not in a place in your healing that's going to be good for me. I want to make you aware of the decadent thorns. Decadence is one of the main tenets of Southern Gothic writing. It is exploring the decay. People think about decadence and they think, oh, it's rich, it's lush. No, it is decaying, right? Anything that is decadent means it is decaying from opulence, right? It is making what was grand into garbage. So we have some decadent thorns out there that are completely destructive, right? We have manipulative thorns. We see these thorns, they're conniving, they're controlling, they want what they want, they want to get what they want by all means necessary. This is where we slide over into, personality disorders, right? All sorts of interesting thorns that show up, right? With manipulative people, murderous people, people who neglect, right? Neglect their responsibilities when it comes to other living things. People who are obsessive, people who are oppressive. Every romance writer out here loves the quote unquote alpha male. The alpha male is pretty much shot through with decadent thorns. He is manipulative. He is controlling. He will do whatever he wants to do to get what he wants. My romantic hero, John Ellis, is a decadent thorn. He is murderous. He has killed. He didn't mind killing. He is neglectful. He will not always pay attention to what needs to be paid attention. If it means that he has to take attention from himself and his own desires, no, John Ellis is not about that. He is obsessive, consumed with Vivian, his wife, his sub, what's going on with her, where she is, who she's with, what she's doing. Is she thinking about him as much as he is thinking about her? Oppressive, brutally authoritarian towards his lessers. Yes, John could give a damn about anybody who isn't him, even though he loves Vivian. But love from a place of obsession and oppression is, well, something that women just can't get enough of when they're reading these romance novels. Now, can they? Paranoid, unusually suspicious, mistrustful, or nervous. I know something is going to happen that will be my downfall. I know people are out to get me. I know they are watching me. Like, these are decadent thorns. These are the thorns that cause destruction of mind, body, soul, infrastructure of societies, even. Right? And yet, as a romance writer, these are the characters I love creating. These are the characters who come to me and say, "Hey, tell my story," because I also want them to know that I can heal, right? That I am on this journey of healing, even as my assholism becomes something of epic proportions. Please continue to tell the story until I'm healed. So that is kind of the thorns, right? The last of the thorns that I want to make you all aware of is the grotesque thorns. The grotesque is another mainstay of Southern Gothic writing. It is the most severe, depraved, deprived aspects of society, of humanity, of every facet within a society. Remorseless. No shame, no regret, no sympathy. I did some shit. I admit I did it. I'm okay with doing it. I'd do it again if I had to. Sadistic, taking pleasure in inflicting pain or humiliating others. John is a sadist. He gets off on hurting people. It translates into his sexual nature. He is a sexual sadist. Back in the day, that used to be a mental disorder. Now it's just a preference. It's a thorn. How did it get there? Self-destructive, acting in such a way as to destroy one's own health and or happiness. If I am not happy, if I can't have you, Vivian, then I will burn the whole damn world down, myself included. Treacherous, deeply disloyal and treacherous, usually for personal gain. Yeah, I know I said I would hold on to these secrets as a part of the secret order that I joined back when I was in college. This is John talking, but hell, not if it's going to cost me more than I'm willing to pay. I will shed every damn secret I know. Violent, viciously, physically harmful to others. I did what I had to do. Yes. I bashed my stepfather's head in with a baseball bat, but he had just killed my mom. John. Decadent, grotesque. He is ate through with these thorns, and yet I love him. He also has endearing thorns. I love him. And he keeps egging me on, Ella, please keep writing because I am healing. I'm healing. And that's kind of the thing, right? We all possess a myriad of thorns that make up our character. Our character is a part of what makes up our personalities. And we want the same exact thing that John, my character from the Broken Soul series, wants. Give me the opportunity to heal. Please, please tell the story of my healing as much as of my walk with thorns. So, quick wrap up before we take a small break. Thorns, from endearing to grotesque. If I had to lump them into two groups, I would go endearing to saddening thorns, right? A little more palatable, and then disrespectful to grotesque. Way, way more difficult to swallow, or even bring our mouths up to the tip and kiss, right? So our endearing to sad thorns, they are kind of non-intrusive, right? They rouse feelings of love and protection. We can be around them and kind of tolerate them easily to some extent. Sometimes it's difficult to connect with some of those thorns. They can be off-putting. And when they become more outwardly effective, right? When they begin to affect others, they become obviously more difficult to tolerate, right? And they can be somewhat inconsiderate and painful. When we talk about the disrespectful to grotesque thorns, right? That happen to show up in character and in human character. They are highly intrusive. They are like in your face. Yes, I know this is my thorn, but watch me stab you with it, right? hurtful, caustic, dangerous. They are divisive. They are intolerable. They are deadly, they can be, and they are steeped in corruption. Highly invasive, prolific, destabilizing. Like that's the word that kind of jumped out at me when I was going through. They are destabilizing. And in a lot of ways, we find that the thorns that are towards the end, right? The decadent and the grotesque thorns, they tend to be systemic and institutional, right? It's like this is how a system is governing, right? This is a systemic thorn. This is how this institution runs. It is an institutional thorn. And then, people who work within that system, people who benefit from those systemic institutions, they become the infamous, right? The infamous beneficiaries of these grotesque and decadent systemic institutional thorns, right? So I'm going to take a quick break because I need some tea. Like yesterday, I need some tea. And you'll hear a little bit from my sponsor. And we'll be back to kind of wrap all this up when we talk about the second way we cannot be a pain in the butt when dealing with thorns. You're going to figure out how to understand how these damn thorns show up. We'll be back in a moment. Sometimes we have to be broken before we are able to see the beauty of our light reflected in the mirrors of our soul. Pick up Alishan's Broken Souls series, books 1 and 2, wherever you shop for your favorite books. I'm Sprise and Mirrored Souls. Available on Amazon, Nook, iBook, and Kobo. And we're back. It's Ella Sean with this episode of Enchanted Beast Podcast. Don't be a pain in the butt. So we've been talking about character thorns and how it's important that we become aware of all that they are. The second way we can avoid being a pain in the butt is seeking to understand how a person's personality completely differs from their character thorns. The character thorns, again, they are adaptive behavioral patterns based in the need to warn, protect, and/or achieve. Thorns are transient, useful, and in play when needed, but can be dormant when they are not needed, right? So I like to think about personality. My personality is a permanent situation, right? My character can change from day to day, minute to minute, hour to hour. So that's kind of, it is what it is. It's hit or miss. We have five personality types. And again, most people are, a combination of these things. So the big five personality traits are openness, conscientiousness, extroversion, agreeableness, and neuroticism. Openness. If this is your big five, like this is your personality type and you were born this way, you are appreciative to, new ideas, values, feelings, and behaviors. You're open to meeting new people, trying new things, going new places. You would be considered kind of a, hey, life's a smorgasbord. I'm here to indulge. If you're conscientious, then you're a lot more careful, right? On time for appointments, you prefer to follow rules, you prefer to be hardworking, you're kind of like the worker bee. Put your nose down, get shit done, keep it moving. That's kind of you. Conscientiousness, right? Extroversion, more talkative, sociable, you tend to enjoy others, you have a tendency to have a dominant style, like you are that person, you're that guy, that girl, right? You've never met a person that wasn't a friend, you've never met a party that you couldn't turn out. You are that guy, that girl. Agreeableness, tendencies to agree and go along with others rather than to assert one's own opinions and choices. And this is just like who you are. I don't want to rock the boat. I'm not trying to cause any waves. I'm just here. Yep, that sounds fine. I'm good with that. Neurotic personalities tend to be more tuned in to the denser energy emotions, right? They tend to be higher strung than other people, right? So you go from being wide open and hey, life's a party, let's get my hat on, to oh shit. Because it doesn't matter if you are conscientious, agreeable, right? So you're careful, you follow the rules, and you tend to go along with everybody on what they're, what they're doing and how they feel. You could still have a shit ton of dangerous thorns, depending on what life has given you. How would a dangerous thorn play out in a conscientious, agreeable person? You see? So it's like, this is my personality, right? I am open and extroverted. So this is me, right? I appreciate new art, ideas, values, feelings, behaviors, and I'm talkative, sociable, I enjoy others. I'm a little bit dominant in my approach to life, but I also have some endearing character thorns. I'm clumsy as hell. And sometimes I just act like a kid. How does that look if I'm also very dominant? So our personality traits are, this is who you are. But as we experience things in life, as our character develops thorns as means of protection or as a way to warn people or as, something to provide shelter or coping. As we develop these thorns in any and all of the categories of thorns that I went over in the first segment, then how our traits present change. So, whereas character thorns are not the end-all makeup of our personality, they definitely play a role in how our personality presents. Does that make sense? So, the more thorns we get, right? The more thorns we develop, then the more our personality is affected. Because remember, every thorn is an indicator as to where we are in our healing and our recovery. The outward presentation of those thorns as filtered through our innate personality, that's kind of what people lump all together and say, tell me about so and so. Oh, well, they are da 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 da. But no one says, well, I think she's like really conscientious. And also, she's definitely dealing with some character thorns. I think maybe she is a little victim of abuse. Like someone in her family was abusive to her, and she has developed a thorn to deal with that. Like if we talked about each other and ourselves in that way, I think it would be so much better than saying, oh yeah, well, she's a bitch when she doesn't get her way, or when it's more than two or three people talking to her. She's a complete bitch and a lunatic. I don't like dealing with her. And it's like, wait, can we understand? Can we try and understand how her thorns are presenting through her personality? I don't know. I mean, I want someone to be that person for me, right? I want to be that for someone else. So, anyway, so if a person is heavily affected by, say, the sadness to grotesque thorns, like either they are carriers and or having been affected by those who carry these very dense thorns, then they're going to have some different presentations of their personality. So a person who is open but is highly affected by the heavier thorns, right? They may prefer not to be exposed to alternative situations, and they are very narrow in their interests. They may not be they may not be artistic. They are more analytical and concrete and like, okay. Or maybe they prefer a quiet evening. They don't want to be around a lot of people, right? Maybe if they have been affected by these heavier thorns, or they are carrying the heavier thorns, they are quick to say, hey, no, I have this idea, and let me tell you what it's going to be, because this is the one we're going to go with. So maybe they're not so agreeable, right? Maybe they are completely apathetic. Right? Maybe they're not neurotic. Maybe they don't get upset about all the little shit, right? They don't sweat the little shit. So that's the person you kind of want to hang out with if you have to defuse a bomb, right? So it's like the more we understand how thorns play through our personality traits, I think the more we are able to stop seeing ourselves first as simply an amalgamation of our experiences, our responses and reactions to those experiences, and like, oh, this is just the way I am. I think, like, for me, if I am looking at myself and saying, hey, Ella, what are your character thorns? What character thorns are you rolling with right now? How did those thorns get there? Right? That's next episode. But how are the thorns presenting through your natural personality? My natural personality is openness and conscientiousness, which is crazy because they seem like the total opposite. I'm also an extrovert. Now, probably, in the next couple of weeks when I'm going through this and I'm like, okay, well, now I need to trust the reason why I have these thorns. Well, I may not be so happy as to why I've developed these thorns. However, I am like I know I am mischievous. So, but we're still on the happy thorns, right? The ones that aren't so horrible. Do I have any saddening thorns? I don't cheat. I'm not an anxious person. I'm not apathetic, unless I am dealing with, a narcolepsy situation. I am arrogant. That is the God's honest truth. I am arrogant as hell. And what about it? See? Oh yeah, I have that. How does that play? How does that present through my open, conscientious, extroverted personality? Like, what does that look like? Do I have disrespectful thorns? Hedonistic. And this is, I mean, but it is my truth. I enjoy pleasure. Like, I enjoy the pursuit of pleasure. Sometimes to the denial of like serious responsibilities. Sometimes I will engage in pleasurable behavior, knowing full well there's other shit I need to be doing. I think for the most part, as I get ready to close out this episode, I want to share with you something very simple, my beast. Who we are as people, as human beings, who we are, that is determined by our human experiences and how our human ego learns to adapt, deal with, overcome the adversities or the traumas that is faced. Can the human experience cause a shift and a change in the essential being that I call the enchanted beast? Can the human develop enough thorns to shift the purpose, the vow, the reason of our essential selves, of our higher selves? Can the human become so mangled in thorns that the beast forgets why it chose to come here in the first place? The human experience is one fraught with trauma because it is constantly changing. And trauma, as it is destructive. It removes certain aspects of self, of identity. Because we are having these human experiences, because our human experience requires the growing of thorns as a means to protect us, as a means to warn off other people who would possibly hurt us, as a way to show that we are dangerous? Because we as human beings grow these thorns, live through these thorns, engage, interact as a result of these thorns. Yes, the essential self, the enchanted beast, is changed. The enchanted beast is changed as a result of the human experience. Not the purpose, not the reason. However, it has to be changed. It has to allow itself to be affected by the human experience. How else does it return to source with new information about itself? In this life, I developed these thorns to deal with this adversity, with this trauma. And also in this life, I was able to heal some of the past trauma and relinquish some of the past thorns. What I am learning in this life after life after life is that I am always evolving. I am always in a constant state of healing and recovery. I am learning how to manage my thorns, how to utilize my thorns so that they don't destroy me, but they protect me so that I am able to protect others by saying, hey, I am not in a place of healing right now that is good for you. So that I am able to recognize those same thorns in others that warn me. This person is not in a place of healing right now that is good for me. Walk away. Why do we have these thorns? Why is it important that we become aware of our thorns, Ella? Because when we are aware of the thorns we carry, then we are able to recognize those thorns in others. And when we recognize those thorns in others, we see them for what they are. Protection for them, warnings for us. Same as ours is for them. This person is not in a place in their healing that is conducive for relationship. I am not in a place in my healing that is good for other people in this way. And that is why being aware of our thorns creates balance. That is why the enchanted beast allows the thorns to pierce itself. Because it comes back every life a little wiser, a little more aware of thorns, right? Okay. Wow. I wasn't quite sure how this was going to go, to be honest with you. But I can see why, after writing three books in my Broken Soul series, I am at a place of stillness almost. It's been very cathartic, recognizing the thorns of my characters, my fictional characters, seeing their thorns, watching how they play out through their personalities and their experiences has truly helped me see how my personal thorns play out through my personality and my experiences. So I want to go ahead and leave you guys with a new little thing I'm doing, right? Like I said, I am a Southern woman through and through, and I write Southern Gothic, and I'm all about the South because I love it here, baby. I don't think I could live anywhere else other than the South ever. So I am including in each episode a little enchanted Circe. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with the Southern tradition of Circes, let me explain what it is. As a host, Southern women always provide Circes to their guest as a little way of saying thank you for taking time out to spend with me, to come hang out with me, right? And they're just small gifts, little tiny things wrapped up in pretty little old gauze and ribbons. Always include chocolate, that's a mainstay. Always something that smells good, that's a mainstay. And if possible, something that's handmade. But honestly, any little old thing is a Circe. So, I would like to offer you the first of Ella's Enchanted Circes as a way to say thank you for hanging out with me in the Enchanted Forest. I am going to leave a link in the description for you to click and download your Circe. I am giving you a personality test with instructions and the reflection page that you can kind of walk through and see how things shake out for you. Again, don't forget to subscribe and receive notification when new episodes are released. Join me on May 31st when I delve a little deeper into character thorns, and I'll be discussing the importance of trusting the reasons, right, behind the development of the thorns. And I'll be encouraging you to learn to treat our thorns with love and compassion. This has been Ella Sean with Enchanted Beast Podcast. Thank you for joining, and remember to stay enchanted.